Hello, I am Sarah.
And I'm Pam, and together we are
Dos Chicas in Design.
In design.
We are friends, fun girls, and fellow designers.
We have conversations about design and how it affects our everyday life.
And we want to let you peek into our world.
So let's get to it.
Last time we wrapped up kind of like our mindset series, but today's episode is a bit of a follow-up around that, because I feel like the topic that we're going to be talking about affects our mindset a lot as well, but it's not really just mindset-centric. And what we're going to be talking about is pretty much Costa Rica and how...
Costa Rica?
Have you ever heard about Costa Rica, Pam?
I think I have. Tiny little country. Do you know where it is?
I think I know where it is.
Okay, I wonder how many people know where it is, like people that listen.
A very good question. And that'd be interesting to know. Does anybody know like where Costa Rica is and what neighbor countries are without looking it up? If you do, let us know. You can come on Instagram and tell us. But I don't remember if we ever explained what TICAS means. Did we in the first episode?
We did briefly, I think, on our pilot episode.
Okay.
TICAS is basically Costa Rican. TICAS for female. Like TICAS or TICOS. But I don't think we talked about the origin of the actual
of
nickname.
The word? Okay.
It's so I think some people still use it nowadays. Like I find myself using it sometimes, but many, like a few generations ago, when people wanted to, I don't know how to explain it, like there was just a way of saying things and making them small. So they would end with tico.
I think it's called a diminutive.
I don't know. So you would add the word tico at the end or tica at the end. And I guess we used it so much, we became ticos and ticas.
One example, because the thing is, in English, that doesn't exist, that concept of making something small by adding something to a word. But I like to use this example. The book, The Little Prince, It's three words in English, The Little Prince. And in Spanish, it's just called El Principito.
Uh-huh.
So prince, translated literally, is príncipe. But if you add ito at the end, it's like a way to make something small. So el principito. So you don't have to say the small prince or the little prince. In Spanish, you say like the prince and then add the word that makes it small.
Exactly.
And like I said, that's not a concept that exists in English, but it does exist in other languages as well. It's not only Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
But Costa Ricans do it apparently a lot more than other people.
Yeah. And like you could say príncipe, like the ito or the ita is actually more common. The tico is not. So I guess principitico would be.
Principitico, which is like really, really small.
But anyway, that's where it comes from. And to this day, we are known as ticos and ticas. So that's why this podcast is called Two or Dos Ticas in Design, because we're both Costa Rican.
And we're both Costa Ricans that right now are not in Costa Rica.
At the moment, we are not in Costa Rica. I am based in Costa Rica, but not right now.
And we are both Costa Ricans, yet we're speaking English on this podcast.
I know, I think about that all the time.
But the thing is, I feel like we're not doing this podcast for fellow Costa Rican designers. Like if they want to listen to it, like they probably will like relate to many things and they will like it. But if anything, what I wanted with this podcast was to like show other people what Costa Rica, like what these two Costa Rica girls are about. Does that make sense?
Yes, and I love the name because I don't know if you feel this way, but being Costa Rican, it's a little bit of a pride thing. Like, I'm really proud to be Costa Rican, even though some people don't know where it is, or don't know anything about it, or think it's an island.
Or confuse it all the time with Puerto Rico.
Oh my god. Yeah, I am really, really proud to be from Costa Rica. So, and then it's also something that makes us unique and different, I guess. And yeah, I think, actually, this is actually something interesting that probably a lot of people that haven't been to Costa Rica don't know. And is that a lot of people in Costa Rica speak very good English. So I'm sure there are people in Costa Rica who would listen to this podcast and be, you know, and understand it perfectly. So, you know, that's something that people sometimes are surprised when they get there, that they have such an easy time getting around, because a lot of people, they either understand English pretty well or speak it fairly well too.
And well, Costa Rica is fairly small. There's about 5 million Costa Ricans.
I think so.
I think the population is still around there. And compared to like the rest of the world, it really isn't a lot, which is another reason why being Costa Rican is pretty unique.
I know, right? You're
like,
right,
I
around 5 million.
Like, I often am like the only Costa Rican person someone knows here in the US.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So let me ask you a question. What is your favorite thing, or what are your favorite things about Costa Rica?
I think one of my favorite things is its focus on ecology.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we've become a destination known for its ecotourism, which I think is probably like very like they're branding themselves to make themselves look like better, like, oh yeah, we're so eco-friendly, you should come visit us, because instead of like hurting the ecology, you're actually going to help by visiting. Mm. But at the same time, because they're emphasizing in that area, they actually are still helping the ecology, because that's what they're promising foreigners that they do. And so we have so much land that is preserved. There's a lot of laws protecting a lot of species, a lot of animals. It could be species of animals and plants, and there's a lot of areas that are just like natural how they are, and they will stay like that because they're being protected. And it's good that, I think it's really good that the rest of the world has paid attention to that, because then Costa Rica feels the pressure that like, okay, we put this image out there, now we have to keep it up. And I think that's something good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of my favorite things. I take pride in that.
Absolutely, you should. One of my favorite things is the variety in both like the climate, like there are a lot of microclimates, and the, should I say, topography? Like you can go, you can take you an hour and a half to go both to the beach or to a volcano or a mountain. Like that's how literal it is. Like there is so much to see. And I haven't even seen the half of it. Like there's always somewhere new I want to go to. Like every year I'm like, I should discover a new place in my own country, because you know, like the beach is not my favorite place. Like I love going to the beach, but I, you know, if I'm going to relax, I would probably prefer to go to like Monterrey, like a mountain or something. But just this weekend, I was in New Jersey and it was so cold, and we went to Cape May to the beach. I was covered in layers. I was wearing a poncho. It was raining. I was freezing. It was beautiful, though. It was so pretty. Like the sand, it was amazing. But a cold beach, you know, that was just so different and so strange to me. Like, I'm used to being a little bit more comfortable at the beach because it's warm, or, you know. And then there's like the volcanoes and the mountains that you can go to. That, so that's one of my favorite things. But there is a lot of, there are a lot of different places and different things that you can go and see.
Question. Have you ever complained when you're visiting the US about how hot it is to have people tell you, but you're from Costa Rica?
Oh my goodness, yes. Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you know what?
Because they all assume we just live at the beach in the heat all year.
Okay, so this is actually very, very interesting, because another of my favorite things about Costa Rica is the weather. We have amazing weather. It is incredible. And mostly where I live in the city in San Jose, and it is perfect. Okay, like it is not too humid. Sometimes it's really warm, but it's not too hot. And it's rarely too cold. Like it's amazing. It's heaven. Of course, we have the extremes. There are places where the humidity is incredibly, it's just incredible. And I've had like furniture start molding in 2 weeks because, you know, it's so humid. But when you come to some places here, like for example, I am in Maryland right now, the humidity is incredible. Like I don't get this in the city in my hometown. Like not at all. This is when I go to the beach, you know, on vacation in Costa Rica, or when I was in Utah, the heat is so dry and extreme. Like we don't get those temperatures in my hometown at all. So when I complain, people just are like, "So, I mean, don't you get like what, like more extreme weather?" I'm like, "No, where I live, the weather is heaven. It's perfect."
I live in Utah, and people are surprised when I say that the hottest I've ever experienced is here in Utah. Oh, and I don't know why they're surprised. It's a desert. It gets so freaking hot in the summer, like just like a couple minutes outside and you're burned. Mm-hmm. And when I moved to Mississippi, I lived 10 months in Mississippi. And then when I would I would come back and like, what did you think? And I'd be like, well, I love the food, but man, that weather, like it's so humid. Like you open the door and you feel like you're swimming, and they're like, oh, I thought it'd be more like what you're used to in Costa Rica. And I'm like, Costa Rica has humid weather in some parts, mm-hmm. but even then I haven't experienced humidity in Costa Rica as I have experienced in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And so I always like explaining to people like Costa Rica, yes, it has two coasts, but actually most of the country, like it's mountainy, and then we have like the Central Valley, and mm-hmm. the Central Valley, like you said, like it's like a forever spring in a way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful. And yes, it does get a bit warmer, but again, it's not as hot as people think it is. It's really just like forever spring. Like honestly, spring here in Utah might even be more hot than down there, because Utah doesn't have a real concept of spring. It goes from winter to summer.
I've heard that. Okay, so that being said, I have to say that I love both. Well, I love the weather in Utah just because I love the seasons and everything. And I'm in love with Maryland, with, you know, where I'm at. It's beautiful. I have lived in Costa Rica in places where the humidity is bad or worse, like because it's all year round, but not necessarily the entire country is like that. And we even have like dry places, like Guanacaste is really dry.
Oh yeah.
If you compare it to the rest of the country. So I was fascinated to come to the East Coast, you know. The first time I was in New York, I was like, this humidity is insane. Like I could not get my head around it. I was like, the movies not show you this. Like, I did not expect it to be this humid. I thought it was only like the Caribbean or Costa Rica, or, you know, but no, like, it is fascinating to see these beautiful different climates and vegetations all the way over here, because, you know, for example, Maryland is so green. It reminds me of Costa Rica a lot because it's so green. So yeah, I don't know. That's something that people don't know about Costa Rica, and it's interesting to mention.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, oh, I kind of just like want to bring all these things up because I feel like there's so many misconceptions. Like you said, so people even think it's an island. Like, we're very much not an island. We're attached on both sides. We do have coasts. And there are areas in Costa Rica where you're like high up in the mountain. I think there's like one place. And if it's not cloudy, if it's clear, you can actually see both the Pacific and the Caribbean, which is really cool. There's very few places where you can do that. I think it's mostly just in Panama and Costa Rica where you can do that.
Because how narrow we are
like in the narrower part of Central America, and from there Nicaragua, and so get a bit wider. But yeah, I feel like there's just so many misconceptions. People think of Costa Rica and they just think of like beach. And I feel like that's probably what it sums it up for everyone. Anytime, probably like 90% of the time I've met someone who's been to Costa Rica, they like, oh yeah, we went down, like, I didn't really get to city, we just like went straight to the beach. And so I don't know, I kind of just want to like tell people, like, well, there's more. Hello, let's there's introduce you more. To other things we have in Costa Rica. So something that I wanted to talk about is, how do we feel, because we were also talking about like the fact that we intended this podcast to be for a bigger audience, for an international audience, which is why we decided to do it in English. And we both have traveled out of Costa Rica quite a bit. I live outside of Costa Rica. So how do we feel about ourselves in regard of being from Costa Rica, but like being out there in like this big world, and especially as a designer? Like, I don't know if you have any opinions about that or any feelings about that. I feel like I have a lot.
Maybe you should start.
Okay. Let's see. I feel like there's like, sorry. I feel like there's this like sides of one same coin. In one.
Oh, Wendy.
On one side of this coin being like, I am proud of Costa Rica and I want people to like understand how amazing Costa Rica is, and I want to be able to portray that. I want to be able to create work that people will say like, oh yeah, she's from Costa Rica, did you know that? Kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, there's a side of it where it's like, we're so small. We have like such, I don't know. It's like you leave Costa Rica and like a lot of people don't even know where Costa Rica is, or like confuse it all the time with other countries. And it's like, if I'm from such a small place, how will people even like remember me if like they can even remember my country? Like, and that, I think that's where a lot of the mindset part comes in as well. I feel that for me, it's sometimes it feels like, what am I trying to do? Like, I'm just like this small person from this small country. And some other times I feel like, you know what? We're freaking cool. and the whole world knows about us because we are ecological, and because we have such amazing weather, and we have, for the small of the country, we actually have like millions of species that live there. Some of them live exclusively in Costa Rica, and Costa Rica has become kind of known for that. And so we might be small, but we're powerful, we can do this. And I feel like it's like this coin that just like turns around, and and it affects my mindset. I especially did more earlier when I was just starting out. I feel like it's when I was younger, especially, it was like something that I always felt like, but I'm so little compared to the rest of the world. And also just like wanting to just like take pride on things and like make sure that I'm putting Costa Rica on the map. Like people will know where Costa Rica is, and they'll remember us, and they'll remember that we do this amazing work. So I feel like, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's a bit how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I understand. To me, what comes to my mind is that sometimes I feel like I need to expand my audience and my clients to not just Costa Rica, just because it's so small. And then, you know, it's hard. Sometimes I feel a little like limited. Like I wish, you know, international shipping were like easier to do, or it's just hard because, you know, we're so small, but then the world of design is pretty global, you know, like the communities and everything. I think that thanks to you, I have been part of just like international communities for entrepreneurs, which is something really amazing. And that really like opens, you know, my eyes to like different kinds of lifestyles and stuff like that. But yeah, whenever this is very interesting. I had never thought about this, but whenever I'm like networking, I've only done it virtually, or they ask you like to say what your name is and where you're from, I feel like this sense of pride and also like a little scared that someone won't know exactly where I'm from, just when I say I'm from Costa Rica. But there is very interesting. There is a lot of talent. And you know what? There are a lot of entrepreneurs in Costa Rica, in like in the design and art area, which is very interesting because being an entrepreneur in Costa Rica is not easy. It is very expensive. Like it's really hard to make a living with it, and there are a lot of people just going for it. So I also feel like there is a lot of support, but I do compare myself to, especially like on social media. Social media is pretty much like a global thing, you know. You can follow accounts from anywhere in the world. Like anyone can follow you, you know, depending on the hashtags they're using. So sometimes when I'm putting my content out there, I do feel like I do feel very small compared to like all the other people doing a similar thing in the world who have like a lot more experience or a lot more talent and stuff like that. So I do feel like in the times we're living, the way design and art are such a big deal, it is a lot easier to compare yourself to just other people like in bigger countries or bigger with more experience trying to do just as well as all those people. And I do feel pressure to do something like wow, like really big. And sometimes I wonder if that really aligns with what I want to do, or if I'm just feeling the pressure to do it to prove something. It's really interesting. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Well, that's what the conversation is about. Something else that I don't know if it's relevant or not, but it just popped in my head. People, I think, don't know about Costa Rica is that the Costa Rican cost of living, like I'm not exactly sure about numbers, but I think it's the highest one in Central America. And it's actually pretty high compared to a lot of other Latin American countries in general. And so like compared, like for example, the US has a ton of different costs of living depending by state and city. But the cost of living in Costa Rica is actually in a lot of things very similar to the one where I live here in Utah. Like when it comes to rent and bills, it's very similar. And I don't think people realize that. And that's why you don't see like a lot of VAs or other type of work that is more common to see in a lot of countries with lower costs of living, where people usually outsource a ton of work because it's cheaper. I guess we do have a lot of call centers that people outsource to, which I think in part has contributed to the fact that a lot of Costa Ricans speak English.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I remember comparing, like I was worried sometimes when people from Costa Rica wanna work with me, and I was worried about like my prices being too high. And then I started comparing and I'm like, actually no, that's what all the people charge over there too. And that was very surprising. And I kind of just wanna say that because like if people wanna work with other people in Costa Rica, sometimes they might think like, oh, let's outsource this to Costa Rica because it probably will be cheaper. That's an awful reason to do it, first of all. And second, like, don't expect it to be that way. Like, I don't know why Costa Rica is rather expensive compared to a lot of other countries in the area, despite the fact that our inflation is actually like very, like, it's like very, like, it keeps a constant pace, unlike other places in the area. But yeah, just like a random fact that I thought was interesting and I kind of wanted to throw out there. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's good because people are often surprised by that.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, another thing I wanted to talk about was just about something that bugs me a bit about a lot of what I see. Because like, as we said, like, people know Costa Rica as like this beach destination and people go for surfing and for like expensive yoga retreats and even plastic surgery. Like Costa Rica is known for kind of like some interesting things that are not part of everyday Costa Rican life.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad thing is that a lot of the people doing that are actually companies that are not from Costa Rica. Like people go to Costa Rica to stay at an all-inclusive beachside hotel that is not a Costa Rican hotel. And yes, mm-hmm. it provides opportunities for the local people by providing jobs and things like that. But sometimes it makes me sad that a lot of the money that's being made in Costa Rica is not actually staying in Costa Rica, mm-hmm. and it's not going more to Costa Rican people. And right now you can see it by how bad COVID has hit the tourism industry and how much mm-hmm. it has hurt the local people. Because like the big chain of hotels, they're not gonna close down because of COVID, but all the little places are, because that's gonna be our second year with pretty bad tourism. And I just feel like, I don't know, it's kind of sad. I feel like we're being exploited in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is really sad, especially right now.
And I feel like something that I want as a goal is like, I want to be able to go back to Costa Rica and have a business there mm-hmm. that stays there. Like that the money like keeps going there and helping the local area more. This is something that I've told Pam, but I don't think I said on the podcast, like my dream is eventually to like have a retreat center in Costa Rica to do like branding retreats and like do like things about branding and design and get into all of that. But do it as something where it's like, we're local people. We're not like, like, for example, like, and I'm not saying this is bad because I think it's a cool idea, but I know of places in Costa Rica that sell this whole idea to international people and they go to Costa Rica and stay in those centers, like hotels or so, And what they have are actually like cabins brought from Bali. Which I bet it's really nice and it's super cool. And if given the opportunity, I would love to go and stay in a Bali made cabin that was imported. But at the same time, it's like, why are you using Costa Rica to sell like a fantasy that is not true? Like, why don't you use like the local resources? Costa Rica has its own like beautiful, magical culture and architecture and like all these things that you could be pulling from instead of selling these like different type of ideas just to make it, I don't know, even more exotic. I don't know what the idea is.
It's interesting, it's more trendy? Right. Exactly, like it's really hard to see the point in it because people love the full Costa Rican experience, you know, like the little, like the Airbnb or like the small hotel, the people, talking to the locals, eating food like an actual soda, you know what I mean? Like the actual food. I feel like people love that because whenever I go to like just this place that have a lot of tourists, there it's always packed. And I feel like people really enjoy that. But I understand what you're saying. It's really hard to see the point in all that. And it does kind of bother you because tourism is one of our strongest you know, it's one of the things that we do best, and sometimes it's hard to
support the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just wish, like, I hope in the future I can do more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to bring people to Costa Rica, but show them what Costa Rica is, and like, for them to know, like, everything, like, is going back to Costa Rica, or, like, everything you're eating is, like, Costa Rican, like, I don't know. I feel like just because it became a trendy place to visit, a lot of people have gone there to just make it like any other trendy place around the world. When we have like our own charm. and I For feel sure. like that's what I want to offer. But yeah, this went in a different direction than I was expecting.
That's okay.
Let's see. I don't know. There's one more thing we had mentioned we want to talk about. Let's see. I think we have enough time, a little bit more, just kind of to mention it. I feel like just like there's people in Costa Rica profiting off Costa Rica without really being involved in the culture, there's also people outside of Costa Rica profiting off Costa Rica. In what I feel is even like cultural appropriation in a way. We have, and I feel bad because like, it's not that I wanna like name, like call on specific names.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people who are just like being very open about the fact that they're taking something that's not theirs and advertising it as theirs. So we have, just like we're known for being ticos and ticas. Mm-hmm. Another thing, which like I feel like those are like the two biggest things we're known from, being ticos and then like pura vida. That's like the Costa Rican saying. And there's actually a company based here in the US that uses that name and uses that, like, they use that name as part of their company name. And they use Costa Rica and the whole pura vida lifestyle as part of their marketing strategy to sell jewelry. And I get so many ads by them all the time. And I'm like, Instagram algorithm, do you know how annoying this is to me? Because people are selling something that doesn't even look Costa Rican anymore. And they keep putting so much emphasis on how this is from Costa Rica and how they help Costa Rican people with it. But reading about it, they actually don't even outsource all of it to Costa Rica anymore. They also outsource to other countries now. And so like, you're just like making money off of something that's very, very much our culture. And it kind of made me upset.
I didn't know about that, and it is very annoying, I understand. But just illustrate how much Pura Vida is Costa Rican. Pura Vida is it really is the way we live. And it's not just the saying, like, you know, oh, you know, my grandparents used to say that when they were, I don't know. It is we use it every day, you know. Pura Vida can mean so many things, you know. It can be hello, you know, if you see someone walking on the other side of the street. It can be thank you. It can be, you know, like, how are you? Oh, pura vida. You can say a person is pura vida just because they're so nice and easygoing. You can say, like, pura vida is something you say all the time. And it has a lot of meaning because it's just, you know, it just, and it comes from the heart. I mean, and if you say pura vida to someone anywhere, they would know it's from Costa Rica. I saw a lady the other day at the CVS wearing, I almost wanted to say hello, but I was in a hurry. She was wearing a pura vida shirt, and it's by this brand in Costa Rica called La Cedilla, I think. And they have like Costa Rican sayings, and then right below it in smaller writing, like the definition or what it means in English and in Spanish. They're awesome. I love those shirts. And she had a pura vida one. You can totally tell that she got it in Costa Rica, you know. And that's how unique it is to us. So it is annoying to see that they're even using the name and saying that they were, you know, that it was founded in Costa Rica.
And it's interesting because I feel like there's like phrases and sayings that come and go. Things that were trendy when I was a child in Costa Rica, like some phrases to like describe things as like pretty cool or fun or stuff, are not trendy anymore. And if you say them, people will look at you weird, you know? But pura vida doesn't go out of style. Like, that's something that our parents and grandparents use, and that's something that our kids will use. There's people our age that already have kids and they use it. That's kind of what I want to say. it is so ingrained in Costa Rica, and it's kind of annoying that like someone's just making it part of their branding strategy, of their marketing strategy. And they're like, just like, they're based in San Diego, in La Jolla, which is like a very expensive area. And I'm like, I really hope that when they say that they're donating to a lot of Costa Rican charities and stuff like that, it is true, because otherwise I'm still kind of annoyed by the fact. because yeah, like people, and this is not exclusive to Costa Rica. This happens to a lot of developing countries. People just exploit us. they take the cool things that are part of what we are, and they try to like bring it to like the US or to other countries and bring like this whole new concept.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I kind of want to see like if they have trademarked that phrase here in the US. That would make me so upset. So maybe I shouldn't even look it up, but I probably will at some point. But yeah, I guess all of this is kind of like to tell you, if you are not a Costa Rican and you listen to our podcast, there's so much to Costa Rica. Costa Rica is so cool.
It is so amazing.
And I feel like it's probably true of a lot of countries, but I feel like Costa Rica has a lot of art. When you're visiting Costa Rica, you're probably going to end up going to markets and see all the artesanías, which is like artisan goods. Maybe, I think that's how you translate it. And we have such unique styles. We didn't even get into styles, but like our, how do you call them, carts? Like for carretas?
It's
the carts that are pulled by oxen carts. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how you call them. If you want to see traditional Costa Rican design, Google Costa Rican oxen carts, and you're going to see art that you've never seen before. And that is completely unique to Costa Rica. We have so many interesting things. We're really more than just nice beaches, although we do have amazing beaches.
We do.
So we understand the appeal, but there really is a lot. And we're very proud of it. And that's kind of what we wanted to do with this episode.
Yeah, cart is the correct translation. There is another one that is off cart. I would call it a cart. But yeah, those are very beautiful. I love those.
And they are complete, like, you don't see anything like that anywhere else. Like, it's a very Costa Rican design, and I think it's just amazing. I'm surprised more people around the world don't know about it, honestly. But
yeah. It's also fun, I think, to talk a little bit about Costa Rica, just because it's in our name, it's part of who we are. We're obviously very proud to be Costa Rican. And I really do think everybody should go. And just to go. It is beautiful. There is so much to see. And people in the place really are pura vida. So if you ever think about visiting, you are gonna love it.
Actually, are we ready for recommendations?
Yes.
Okay, Pam, you want to start?
Yes, I am going to recommend 2 Instagram accounts of Costa Rican illustrators. There is a lot of art in Costa Rica. There is a lot of talent. It is amazing. 2 of my favorite ones, I'm going to recommend their Instagram accounts because I feel like they have a very unique and it I don't know, it has a sense of like Costa Rica to it. So the first account is Entropía Entropía Illustration. So Entropía is E-N-T-R-O-P-I-A. What do you call the lower dash? Like the dash on the bottom? Do you know?
No, I just call it underscore, maybe?
Underscore, sure. Yes. Very good. And then illustration, the word in English. She does amazing, beautiful work. You just go and check it out. She does murals mostly and packaging and stuff like that. It is beautiful. And the other one is Erika Celedon C-R. So that's Erika, E-R-I-C-A, Z, and zebra, E-L-E-D-O-N-C-R. She's probably my favorite Costa Rican illustrator. She does incredible work, portraits and commissions and stuff like that. And I suggest you check them out because they are extremely talented. And I really admire them.
I'm looking them up right now, and that's really cool work.
I know. It is like...
I love that both of them are very nature inspired.
Exactly. And nature inspired, one of them, there's a lot of like flowery leaves and just natural work. And the other one has even done like different creatures. And I bought some face masks from Erika, and they are so pretty. They have like the cutest patterns and colors and everything. So if you want to see some unique design and art, I suggest you follow those accounts.
Nice. So my recommendation is actually a bit similar. I have 2 of them. And the first one is, I don't know that much about local Costa Rican designers. So I wanted to learn more about that. And I actually found both on Behance and in Dribbble. If you go and like look for Costa Rica as the location, you'll find so much awesome work. It made me really happy. So if you're looking for Costa Rican designers, like that is a way to find lots of local designers with lots of different styles. And the second thing I wanted to recommend was visit Costa Rica. and I was just thinking, Pam and I actually got to go once to the beach together. And this is my favorite beach and one of my favorite places in Costa Rica in general. It's called Manuel Antonio. And even though it's a town, like what I recommend is actually the national park. The national park is beautiful. The beaches are very nice. If you didn't know, water in Costa Rica is nice and warm. Like, not like super warm, but it's like, it's not crazy cold when you go into the water. It's very pleasant. And, but not only do you get the experience to like go to the beach, which is like normal experience everybody does, like it's a national park. So it has a lot of trails. It has a lot of hikes and it has a lot of animals. You can see monkeys, you can see raccoons, you can see sloths, you can see a lot of birds. So it's a very, very nice area. I really like that park. It's one of my favorite places. I've gone there a lot of times. And yeah.
Some are it is beautiful. I recommend it.
One of these days, and I say one of these days, and I don't even have a passport, but one of these days, I'm going to go back to Costa Rica, and Pam and I will make like a little tour of Costa Rica for our listeners.
I already have two places. I already have two places we're going to visit. But there are others that we should go to.
So next is what we're up to. The first thing that we're up to is an announcement about next episode of the podcast. It's not going to be on a Tuesday. It's actually going to be in 2 weeks, but on the Wednesday, because I'm going to be traveling on the Tuesday. I'm kind of excited. The first time I travel in a long while. And I'm actually going to go visit my sister in California. So next recording is going to be Wednesday, June 16th, noon Pacific time and 3 p.m. Eastern time here on Twitch. And if you can listen to us live, you can always just wait for our episode that drops every 2 Fridays. Other than that, what I've been up to, a lot of behind the scenes, working on my website still. It's almost ready, but there's so many details that need to be worked on. And I'm working on our summer. We're mostly booked out till July.
Yeah,
we're working on scheduling now. Now that it's June, we're going to start scheduling for August. So I need to start efforts into that again. And yeah, I've been taking things a bit slow and it's been nice. So that's good.
That's good.
What are you up to, Pam?
I have had work not related to my business. Also, just kind of enjoying some time with my family that I'm visiting and doing some behind the scenes to just work for the mastermind, you know, homework, you know about that. So I've been working on that, doing a lot of just journaling and thinking about where I want to go with my business. And that's it. I'm taking it slow too. I was burned out recently just from trying to do too much. So yeah, that's it. And I got fully vaccinated now.
Yay!
Got it yesterday. So
we both are lucky now to be fully vaccinated.
Yes.
So yeah. Good luck to everyone who can't get vaccinated or where the vaccine isn't available yet. Hopefully it will be available more in other places soon as well, but.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly things get better.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much for joining our conversation today.
We would love to hear your take on this, so make sure you follow us on Instagram at @2ticasindesign with the number 2 or on Facebook under the same name.
See you on social media.
Bye.